ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवदीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम मैवास्मान् साध्वि असूयेथा भ्रातुर् वैरूप्यचिन्तया सुखदुःखदो न चान्योऽस्ति यतः स्वकृतभुक्पुमान्। प्लीज रिपीट। मैवास्मान् साधव्यासूयेथा मा प्लीज डू नॉट एव इंडीड asman toward us sadhavi o saintly lady asuyatah feel inimical bratuhu of your brother vairupya over the disfigurement chintaya out of concern sukha of happiness dukkha and unhappiness da bestower na not cha and anyah anyone else asti there is yatah since swa of his own krita action bhuk the sufferer of the reaction puman a man. Translation: saintly lady, please do not be displeased with us out of anxiety for your brother's disfigurement. No one but oneself is responsible for one's joy and grief, for a man experiences the result of his own deeds. We continue reading, or how is it? Speak on this. There's no purport to this. And then carry on. Oh, I just read something with purport. Bandur vadharha dosho pina bandhur vadham arhati tyajah svenaiva doshena hatah kim hanyate punah. Translation. This is the next verse, text 39. Again addressing Krishna, Balaram said, a relative should not be killed even if his wrongdoing warrants capital punishment. Rather, he should be thrown out of the family. Since he has already been killed by his own sin, why kill him again? Purport. To further encourage Lady Rukmini, Balaram again emphasizes that Krishna should not humiliate Rukmini. ॐ तत्सत् ॐ अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताकस्वामिनि दिनामिने। नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि दिनामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्दा श्रीयद्वैत गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. To everybody here in Phoenix, right? Phoenix or Phoenix? Phoenix. To Shri Radha Golokanandaki. Right, this is my first visit to Mauritius. And I'm very happy to be in the association of a very vibrant congregation. We had a great Nagar Kirtan yesterday. I saw so many of them very enthusiastically dancing all along for all the 2.5 hours that we did. Yeah, it was very nice. So I'm happy to be here at Mauritius. It's a holy place. Srila Prabhupada set his lotus feet here. And whatever little opportunity I had to render some seva, I am very grateful to all of you. I didn't get much time to be in Phoenix for some reason or the other. I was sort of cloistered and enjoying a different atmosphere in Bon Aqui. Though it was nice to relax, but then it was a little anxious, not being able to do some preaching. However, I am leaving this afternoon, I think. Maybe there's some other time that I can get some opportunity again to do some seva. So, this is a chapter, the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. And here, I think, if I recollect right, the scene is that Krishna has kidnapped Rukmini and he is pursued by the kings. He defeats those kings with the help of Balaram. And Balaram comes later. And as Krishna is moving away with Rukmini, her brother Rukmi, who wants her to get married to Shishupal, he is also pursuing her. And he is vowed that he will not come back to the kingdom unless he gets Rukmini back. He made this foolish vow and he pursued Krishna. And here we can see Krishna has overpowered him, and Rukmini has pleaded to Krishna not to kill her brother. And therefore Krishna has sort of insulted him, a Kshatriya insult, by disfiguring him, taking away half his mustache and half his hair, disfiguring him. That's a great insult to a Kshatriya. In this way, that doesn't matter to Rukmini so much. But Balaram is appearing there and he is taking great compassion on Rukmi. He releases him and then he chastises his younger brother Krishna and he said, "You have done wrong. This is not the way to treat somebody, especially a relative." So this is one time we can see that somebody is chastising Krishna. Normally we don't see anybody chastising Krishna. Who dares chastise Krishna? But Balaram, as elder brother, is getting an opportunity to chastise Krishna. You see, when Balaram appeared as younger brother, Lakshmana, he had a very tough time. It's mentioned, the acharyas have commented that he had a very tough time. And Ramachandra asked him to keep guard on Sita and went behind the golden deer. And then Lakshmana and Sita heard this voice of Ramachandra, "Lakshman, come help me." And Lakshman was not perturbed. He said, I know my brother's voice. That's not my brother's voice. But then Sita, she became very angry that Lakshman is not going and helping her husband. So she
you know, said all sorts of things. She told him that you try and enjoy me. That's why you're not going and you're waiting for my brother to die, for your brother to die. And that's why you're doing this. Very powerful words she uses. And then Lakshman was, you know, put in a very difficult situation. And it's mentioned that he went and, you know, pursued Lord Ramachandra's enemy, and Ravana came and abducted Sita. So after that, it's mentioned that, so as Lakshmana, it was very austere, because you're the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra and you can't say anything, and everything he does you have to listen. And it's mentioned that's why he became Nityananda Prabhu. When he was Nityananda Prabhu, he was free to do things the way he wanted. And even in Chaitanya Leela, you can see sometimes he gets angry with Lord Gauranga. So here we can see a unique situation where Balaram is chastising Krishna for his action. Obviously, it's a sweet pastime. Krishna is willing to take any chastisement from Balaram. And he's saying here, you shouldn't have done that. My dear Krishna, you have acted improperly. This deed will bring shame on us. For to disfigure a close relative by shaving off his mustache and hair is as good as killing him. And now he's saying, saintly lady, is immediately turning to Rukmini and saying, saintly lady, please do not be displeased with us out of anxiety for your brother's disfigurement. No one but oneself is responsible for one's joy and grief. For a man experiences the result of his own deeds. Having said that, Balaram is sort of consoling Rukmini. If you can recollect, Balaram is not saying anything about Krishna bringing Rukmini away. He's not saying anything about abducting Rukmini, which nowadays in modern times at least we would think otherwise. We would rather say, the judgment would rather be, why did you do that? Why did you take away Rukmini? It would be reversed. And you will free Rukmini and say, thank you for trying to save your sister. You should get a special award, bravery award, and you'll be given an award for it. And Krishna would be punished. He would be hanged for killing so many people, etc., etc. But nobody is speaking anything about that. And so this pastime, I think most probably it's out of place, anachronistic in this time to understand, hey, who's getting punished? Who's getting relieved? I mean, it's completely wrong. And here's Balaram coming and complicating things further. He's saying, Krishna, you are wrong for a different reason. Not for the reason that people would normally think. For a different reason. And then worse still, Rukmini, if you penetrate deeper, Rukmini is the one who's done the whole plot behind. And she is even telling Krishna, come and marry me like a Rakshasa. A Rakshasa wedding award. She's a Kshatriya lady. And here she's being addressed as a saintly lady. It's all amazing. All sorts of things are going on. Saintly lady. But she's a Kshatriya lady. She wrote to Krishna a beautiful letter. And she sent it through a Brahmana. And he said, I want you to come and like a Rakshasa wedding we should have. Lift me and take me away. The Manu Samhita states that there are some eight or nine types of wedding. One of them is Rakshasa types of wedding. We could come and take the lady you want and go. And Krishna is credited with having done all the types of weddings. All mentioned in the Manu Samhita, everything he has done, all variety. He is Vivaha Raja, not only Rasa Raj. All types of weddings, maybe some newer ones too could be added to the list. Krishna did all. Said, who married 16,000 ladies together? That must be another type of wedding from the prison house, right? They did all varieties of weddings, right? So nobody's going to talk to Krishna, but this is not the way you should have done it. They would say, no, this is the way, and I'll tell you more ways to do it. That would be Krishna's answer. So he's amazing, supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is no ordinary person. When he gets married very specially. So this is another special wedding and is a very special lady. She is Lakshmi herself, taking part in the pastime of Krishna. And Rukmini, very dear to Krishna. So she is asking Krishna to come and take her away. She uses the word like a lion, take me away. Like a lion takes its share, takes the lamb away. Like that you come and pick me away. I belong to you, not to this jackal called Sishupala. I belong to you. So according to that beautiful letter, it's amazing that the story is that Rukmini hears about Krishna. She's in Vidarbha, isn't that the province? Yeah, she's Vidarbha. And then Krishna in Dwaraka. People keep coming and going. They go to Dwaraka, they come back, and from people from Vidarbha go to Dwaraka and come back, and from Dwaraka people come this side and go back, and they keep carrying messages. And people from Dwaraka who visited Vidarbha carried message to Krishna, and in Dwaraka said, there's one beautiful girl there, my gosh, she's very beautiful and full of nice lakshana qualities and so wonderful. So the word spread about Rukmini, and Krishna comes to hear about it. And Krishna, really, who's that girl? I must get in touch with the girl. And on this side, Vidarbha, she heard, I mean, who has not heard about Krishna? Everybody hears about Krishna. And so she hears about Krishna. And in her mind, she fixes her mind on Krishna. She is Lakshmi. And so she says, there's nobody but Krishna whom I'm going to get married to. And it is so predicted. And Rukmini's father also knows that it's going to be somebody like Krishna who's going to marry my daughter. But somehow, by force, through his son Rukmi and through his unholy alliance and friendship with Shishupal, somehow it so happens that the wedding gets fixed with Shishupala. But the king of Vidarbha, that is, what's his name? Bhishmaka. He also knows that this is not the right match. And then Krishna is also thinking of Rukmini, because he has heard about Rukmini. And then he gets this letter from this Brahmana. This Brahmana brings his letter, and Krishna welcomes the Brahmana and does all his regular respectful arrangement for him. And then the Brahmana gives a letter, and Krishna immediately leaves. He takes the Brahmana with him and leaves. And he says, Brahmana, you don't have to go walking now. You come with me. And he takes the Brahmana and leaves at a powerful speed and reaches. And people, everybody in Vidarbha know that Krishna has arrived. And he stays elsewhere. And the word spreads. Krishna has arrived. And instantly people start thinking, wouldn't it be nice for Rukmini to get married to Krishna? Isn't that the best match? Why she should get married to Sishupal? So Rukmini has so many fans, and she's such a wonderful girl, this wonderful lady. So she has her own group of people. Almost everybody in the kingdom is immediately matching up Rukmini with Krishna. In their minds, they're thinking. And then it gets extrapolated and moves around like a rumor. I think Krishna has come to take Rukmini. Wow. And the whole kingdom, everybody is talking around. There's no SMS or some mobile phones, but I'm sure if it was there, it was spread like wildfire. The news spreading around, Krishna has come here. I think he's come for Rukmini. And around the grape, grassroot grapevine, we can hear that it is so. Krishna has come for Rukmini. But then why did he come like this? Why did he not come as an official guest of the kingdom through King Vidarbha? Why did he, all sorts of work? It must be because he wanted to take her away. So people were getting excited that something is going to happen. And here Rukmini was wondering why Krishna is not coming yet. And she was almost, you know, feeling hopeless. She gave up hope at one point of time. And then this Brahmana arrived. When she saw the Brahmana, she brightened up. And the Brahmana came and said, "Everything is done. Krishna is here." And she became thrilled, excited, adventurous. Something is going to happen. Because Krishna has come, then everything is going to happen. So it's a very exciting story. I mean, it'll make a wonderful movie, actually. Why not somebody shooting a movie? It's full of adventure, love, and, you know, fighting, and it's got all the ingredients of a good movie. So that it, yeah, in South India I've seen many movies. Rukmini Kalyanam, this, I mean, the movies in Telugu, I don't know whether in Hindi, but in Telugu and Tamil there are movies, exciting. But I think reading Prabhupada's Bhagavatam is more exciting than seeing those characters who acted as Krishna and all Rukmini, you know. Anyway, it's full of, you know, all the ingredients for a nice book, for a nice movie. And Rukmini got so excited, and then her heart beating. She had also given Krishna the plan. "This is the time you should take me away." She planned it, real Kshatriya woman. He said, "Do it then, at this time, when I come out, I will be coming out with all my associates and all my close people to worship Durga, our family deity. At that time, I'll appear outside and everybody will take a look at me at that time. All the prospective kings who have come to see me will come and take a look at me. And that's the time you should come." So Krishna didn't make his appearance any other time. He laid back. And then when Rukmini, with a heart beating, she went. She had not seen Krishna, I think, till now. So when she went to the temple and she paid her obeisances. She did puja, she did everything. As mentioned, she washed her feet, if I recollect right. She washed her feet and went inside. And she did the puja and they made all the offerings to Durga because she's supposed to get married. And this is part of the Vivaha ceremony. Already some ceremonies are over. And this is one of the final ceremonies. And she's doing that and she's coming out and Shishupala must be so thrilled. Already ceremonies are over and all the rituals have already been done. And, you know, in between she comes out and then all of a sudden it's mentioned Krishna appeared in the crowd. And then Rukmini for the first time saw Krishna and became thrilled. And before that she saw some of the other kings. It's mentioned that some of them fainted and fell down looking at Rukmini's beauty as she was walking out of the temple. A stately figure, beautiful form and all that. She was looking down and walking and then she let her eyes and rested on Krishna and she saw all these kings and immediately Krishna moved forward in the chariot and everybody gave way for Krishna. Everybody know what's happening. All of a sudden Krishna does what he wants. It was stunning. He just moved in, took Rukmini, put her on the thing, and they were all dumbfounded, wondering, what is going on? Who is this person? By the time they understood it is Krishna, you know, it was too late, and Krishna had already left. He fled. And then by the time in Dwaraka, Balaram came to know, "Oh, really? He didn't tell me. My dear brother had this type of a plan. He had a little liking and inclination towards Rukmini. Why did he not tell me? Why did he go alone? He'll be in danger. Come on, let's go." And he moved an army and he moved ahead. He came right on time when Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini and he was moving ahead and the kings were attacking him. At that time, especially Shishupala and who was that? Jarasandha. Everybody had come. Jarasandha and all had come because they said, "We suspect there will be some problem. Because we heard there is something to do with, you know, Rukmini and Krishna and something. So we came with an army." Jarasandha and all of them came with an army. Ready. They had come there. And that's how Balaram also came. And then as soon as Jarasandha said, "Come on, what are you waiting for? Let's go, attack." And then they started attacking. And then Balaram and his forces took over and finished them. Krishna moved ahead. And in between, Rukmi felt so insulted. You see, my plan never took off. Of course, it's always Krishna's plan that takes off. My plan never took off. And therefore I vow, I bring back Rukmini, I bring back my sister, I'll finish this Krishna. And so he went alone, foolishly, you know, took this vow and went alone and chased Krishna, and this is what happened. So it's nice to see, if you see it from ethical moral code, then you can get completely flummoxed. All sorts of things are happening inside you. You know, and who's getting punished for what? It'll be interesting to make a study of this. But according to Kshatriya code, a Kshatriya is allowed to do that. He can show his chivalry, he can show his bravery, and he can conquer a lady, and he can take her and go. Yesterday in the class we were discussing how Bhishma, although he was a very old man, he went to get, you know, queens, maidens, wives for Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. And he went to, when he went to the Swayamvara, they asked, and all the ladies said, oh my gosh, he's contesting, such an old man. I mean, if he will sure win because he's Bhishma and we'll have to get married to him. Then they protested, we can't get married to an old man. So they said, why did you come? And all the kings said, what the hell are you doing here? Why did you come here? What have you got to do with this? Then Bhishma spoke, according to Manu Samhita, you know, this is, these are the things that you can do, and this and that, and I've come to do this. And then he fought and he took two of them and left. Three of them and left. Amba, Ambalika, and Ambika. So this is chivalry. And Kshatriyas can do it. Even an old man like Bhishma, you know, must be, you know, 100 plus or something years old, you know, very old, can do that. And that is respected. You can't do anything to it. So similarly, Krishna, as a Kshatriya, acted. And amazing things Krishna encouraged, because he did all these type of marriages. He encouraged anybody else also who wanted to do similar things. And I'm sure if you're planning to do something like that, you get Krishna's blessing. Why? Because Arjuna came up to him and said, listen, I think I like Subhadra, your sister. And Sri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vrishni, Rishabhavani, Druk. Rajam Sadhana Napavargavirya, Krishna Sakha, Arjuna is called. So dear friends, both of them. He said, oh really, you fell in love with my sister? No problem, I don't mind. But I think you'll have a problem from Balaram. So what do you suggest? So he said, just go and lift her off from the place. And he gave a little suggestion how to do it. And Arjuna went dressed as a sannyasi. Amazing. He went dressed as a sannyasi to Dwarka. And he went and parked himself there. And everybody came to know there is a wonderful looking sannyasi. Wonderful looking because he doesn't really look like a sannyasi. He looks so hefty. Massive. You know, it looks like somebody military trained, Kshatriya trained, but anyway, he looks very powerful. And so Balaram and everybody else went to take darshan. They didn't know, and Balaram invited him, come home for lunch. And he was just waiting for this because he wanted to take a good look at Subhadra. And Subhadra also heard about this handsome man who has become a sannyasi. And she also thought that it would be nice to cook for this person. And so he came home and Subhadra cooked and Balaram fed the sannyasi. He's doing his dharma as a grihastha. So he invited, and Arjuna, he ate very nicely. And from the corner of his eyes, it's mentioned that he was watching the doorway, and behind that Subhadra was looking through the curtains, looking at him. And he knew that, and she was also looking and seeing Subhadra there and eating. And while he was eating and stretching his hand and eating, she saw that, my gosh, look at his arms. These arms are so tough, and on that is a lot of marks, you know, Dhananjaya's bow, Gandiva bow, hitting him on his arms. And he's got wounds. The Kshatriya has got wounds on his body and everything. He doesn't look like a sannyasi. She was thinking, doesn't look like a sannyasi. But Balaram did not notice. And in this way, at a right time, at an opportune time, Arjuna picked up Subhadra and left. And Balaram got so angry. And Krishna came and said, listen, man, relax. He pacified him. Because he told Arjuna, I'll take care of Balaram, you go ahead. So this is the type of advice that Krishna gave. You can imagine Krishna. So if Krishna wants, anything can happen. His plan takes place. And if it's his devotee, then he will support anything. So in that situation, we see here with that background, Balaram is coming in and said, not good what you did. So he's used to this, Krishna. I know previously also I did something bad. I let your sister or my sister to get abducted by Arjuna under a different type of a plot. And so Krishna doesn't reply here. You'll see, he just keeps quiet. He doesn't say anything. He knows Balaram is easily pacified. All I have to do is, I'm sorry. So Rukmini is being pacified. This is the background, and Rukmini is being pacified. Here Krishna is saying, Balaram is saying, no one but oneself is responsible for one's joy and grief, for a man experiences the result of his own deeds. Although Balaram is chastising Krishna, he's speaking some solid truth here. No one is responsible. No one else is responsible. One is responsible for his own situation. This is interesting. Now in this world, we always seek somebody else who will take responsibility for whatever is happening to us and whatever we do. You know, we wish we could outsource that alone. You have nowadays outsourcing of everything. BPO, business process outsourcing. Even Krishna is outsourcing. He outsourced all the regular knick-knack stuff and all that to the demigods. You guys look after all these things. I deal only with pure bhakti, and anybody who wants me and wants to hang around with me, I play the flute and rasa. I am Rasa Raj. Every other domain is yours. Management and all the stuff you do. Outsourced to the demigods. So outsourcing means you don't have all the headache. You can peacefully sit down and, you know, do what you like to do. And devotees are also very powerful outsourcing agents. They like to give up their responsibility. They like to, you know, Prabhu, I have to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have to look after my spiritual life. Prabhu, you know, I don't have time. Just look at what happened today. So, the Krishna conscious movement sometimes is faced with this challenge of persons whom you want to be doing something, doing the extra job of outsourcing it to somebody else. That's a challenge now in management and organization. Everybody wants to sit around and be a manager and do outsourcing. But to get on to the real job, go to the street, distribute books. Take it on yourself to do the things that need to be done as service to Krishna. We don't want to do because that entails responsibility. And doing devotional service in this world means you become a target. Because Maya has already marked you. Next, Kali will mark you. And then all agents of Kali and Maya will also mark you. And who are they, by the way? I've left my parents and my household long back. I left all my other friends long back. I don't stick around in the material world. I don't go outside. I don't meet with any of these guys. But still, I'm in trouble. Because those weak devotees who are around you, they sometimes have some type of a relationship with Maya and Kali in their weaker moments. And Maya and Kali, if they have to reach out to you, how will they? Because you've insulated yourself with devotional service and devotees around you, how will they get to you? So when devotees around you become weak, They don't do their sadhana properly, they commit offenses, they do that, they do this. They become the agents for that moment of time. And through them, you get hit. And then if you're responsible and you're doing something nice, then you get attacked. Kali will attack you, because this is the only way to attack you through your people. So unbeknownst to you, disguised, you get an attack. And then you know that I didn't do anything wrong. I did something good and I'm in this situation. And somebody who doesn't do anything is in a better situation. So maybe I should do that. In this way, there's a lot of dynamic in terms of responsibility. But we know in the lives of great persons that whatever happens to us in devotional service is not necessarily always because of our past karma. Because in our mind we are thinking, I thought at least in devotional service I won't have this type of stuff. And now even in my service I'm faced with these type of things. And am I really doing service, or is my karma taking effect? What is this? So we need to know that sometimes we take responsibility for Krishna, for Guru, for Srila Prabhupada, for other devotees. Then we have to tolerate some of these things that happen to us. And they are happening by the act of Krishna's material energy. You can see it in the life of great devotees. In other words, we hold responsibility. We don't become irresponsible by abandoning our devotional service, by blaming somebody else. We take that burden. It may not be directly your burden, your responsibility. Like sometimes we wonder when we are, doing all this management, organizational stuff and all that. Each time we bring in devotees, oh nice, he became a devotee, very good, wonderful. But along with him comes his whole baggage, his past karma, his whole attitudes and everything. And he's a nice person because he wants to be a devotee. But then you're accepting that. In our movement, with everybody who comes in, we have this baggage also coming in. And we have to deal with it. We have to deal with that and relate with him. We don't have to deal with him and relate with that. That's a mistake we do. We have to relate with this person. And then sometimes, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, they will get up and hit you, beat you, kick you. And then we have to take that. So actually it's a very thankless job. But then Srila Prabhupada, he did that. He took upon himself a great responsibility. After all, they are Krishna's children. And we need to teach them to be responsible. But in the meantime, while they learn, we take responsibility for that. So this is the meaning of devotional service. It's not that you have a nice time and you do only those things that are nice to do or you like to do. So here, responsibility for a devotee is one thing. Responsibility in the outside world is another thing. In the outside world, they would say that bring up your kids properly, put them in school, look after them, cater to your husband, to your wife, build a house for them, get them this, get them that, look after your parents, and be a good citizen in society, carry out your duties, etc., etc., etc. And somehow we are guys who don't do that. And in the eyes of society, we are irresponsible people who left a household, who may have left other responsibilities. But if only they read Bhagavatam and they see what type of prescription is given there, they'll be amazed and shocked. Because the Bhagavatam says to hell with all that. This is what you're supposed to do. It says directly that. In the first chapter you have the shloka that says, forget the beginning of that. How does it go? Swadharma, if you give up, and if you take up Krishna consciousness, hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord, you're far better than imperfectly performing a dharma. What is it? Huh? No, it's another one. Forget, huh? No. It's a very nice shloka. It directly says that if you have tyaktva swadharmam charanam bujam harer bhajan apakavo atapate tato yadi yatyakva ba abadram abut amushikim kovarta abhajatam swadharmatah abhajatam swadharmatah. Abhajatam means you did not do bhajan of Krishna, but you catered to your swadharma. Swadharma. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bujam harer. On the other side, one who gave up his swadharma, all his duties to that and this according to Varnashrama. Tyaktva, gave it up. Charanam bujam harer, he held on to the lotus feet of Krishna. And then, what happened? Bhajan apakkavo atapate tato yadi. Apakkava bhajan means improper bhajan he did. And then he fell down from his devotional service too. My gosh. Neither did he do that properly. Nor did he do this properly. He left that and came here. This also he didn't do properly. Like Trishangu. You know, neither in the heavens nor in this thing hanging in between. You know, Trishangu Swarga. That Vishwamitra's whole pastime. So like, neither did I do that. Some people feel real bad. You know, sometimes devotees can become very morose. Yeah, at least I should have done that thing properly. I gave up that and came here and this is also not proper. They come very... So this Bhagavatam says, doesn't matter. You've done a great job. You left that. You held on to this. This also you didn't do properly. No matter. Don't worry. Yatrakva abhadram abuddhamushyakim. So what? Kovart abhajatam. So better than that fellow who is doing only swadharma and never worship Krishna. You are far better. Because you will again get a chance. Krishna will look after you. So these are responsibilities. Proper understanding of what responsibilities. And when things happen to us, it's not that we are not responsible for it in devotional service. We have to take responsibility for many things. You stick your neck out when you become a preacher and you have to take responsibility for other people. You see? Yeah. So in the Bhagavatam it says that all these things are your responsibility. And your own mental attitude and your disposition towards devotional service will also get you in that type of situation wherever you are. So we are responsible for all these things. Sometimes we may think, why am I responsible for this person and what he did? No, we are responsible. You can see Prabhupada saying, if a devotee leaves the movement, the temple president, they should take the responsibility for it. You are the reason why they left. Otherwise, who else can be responsible for it? Like that. Here Balaram is telling that Rukmi is facing what he deserves to face. You are also facing what you deserve to face. And Krishna has done wrong. He should also face what he's supposed to face. He's generally speaking about everybody's responsibility. And at various levels, instructing people what it should be. See. Jihvams kuchit sandashati swadadbis tatvedanayam katamayatu kupyet. Bhagavatam beautiful shloka says, Jihvams kuchit sandashati swadadbis. Sometimes when you're eating, especially it's hot piping meal when the weather is like this, and you have a hot piping prasadam meal in front of you, and there is khichdi, and there is papad, and there is a mango chutney, and this and that. You eat, and then by mistake you bite your tongue. Whoa! Hot prasadam, and you bite your tongue, and then tears flow out of your eyes, and you feel like turning around and said, you rascal, to the next guy who is enjoying the prasadam properly. Stop enjoying. My mouth is burning. It's hot. I bit my tongue. Jihvams kuchit sandashati swatadvis. If you bite your tongue, Vedanayam, Veda means pain. Katamayatu kupyat, whom will you get angry with if you bite your own tongue? Beautiful shloka. Whom will you get angry with if you bite your own tongue? You know, we could, if we had some clout, you know, punch the next guy and say, rascal. You know, that give us a little external satisfaction. And if you're a fool, you'll do that. But then, you know, you bit your tongue and you got tears in your eyes, you know.
Life is miserable. It's difficult to enjoy.
I am responsible. Because I am responsible for dividing matter, I can't blame anybody. It's so painful. But most of the time, our mind immediately thinks, ah, I know, this is the guy. It's because of him that I'm suffering. And we get assuaged mentally. Ah, I'm not to blame. This is the guy, I know. And then it takes a long time for somebody to tell him, no, I don't think he's, what did he do after all? Really? Or maybe, yeah. But maybe the guy next to him, somebody can I hold on to? You know, I mean, when we give prizes away for kids down there in South India, I mean, kids are all sitting together and first prize for so-and-so. And the kid sitting next to him, you can see he's very morose. And then sometimes, and a consolation prize for the person sitting next to the person who won the first prize. Hari Bol, really, I got a prize too for sitting next to the guy who got the first prize. I mean, some reason to give a prize. But we want that, we'll be able to put the blame like that, the guy sitting next to you. But no, you take the responsibility. This is where our Krishna consciousness is. You see, we have to take responsibility for it. Krishna is trying to tell you something. He's shaking you up a little bit and saying something to you. You hear that. Once you become responsible for things that happen to you, once you're not very interested in shoving the responsibility on somebody else, then we know, okay, there is something here for me. Why did this happen to me? It happened to me because I am being awakened to something that I have not done. You see, it's brought out very beautifully in the life of the Avanti Brahmana, that beautiful chapter in the 11th canto. The story of the Avanti Brahmana. Oh, we are finished, huh? What time does it get over? 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. Shall we stop there? We can hear. Okay, just this story of the Avanti Brahmana is very wonderful. The Brahmana was a powerful person and he was good at making money, some good karma. He also made good money. But very well read, very well educated, nice Brahmana. But when the money came, he sort of held it. Now money should be spent carefully. Money should be spent like this. So his kids and his wife said, come on, you made money. We are Brahmins. We are normally not very rich. And you are the only Brahmana around who's pretty big. Why don't you just give something? Let's have a little good time. No, it's against dharma to do that. Mm-hmm. And he kept the money like that. Because a mixture of all his education and the extra money he got, a complex mixture. And some, finally the money didn't come out of him. He became kanjus, like they say in India, kanjus marwadi. The makichus, kanjus. So what happened is that all that money he was keeping with him, one fine day somebody came and took it away. Somebody stole it. And then, oh my gosh, all that, money. Tam tam dhunoti bhagavan pumsam sochati yat krite. Mentioned in the Bhagavatam that the living being, he gathers all his assets and piles it up like a bee does, gathers honey. And then somebody comes and takes the whole honeycomb and goes away. Like that, boom. The grahasthas all saving, oh my gosh, everything gone. And now the wife said, now, what's the use of you even staying here? Why didn't you just get lost? And the kids started saying all sorts of things to him. Then he reflected on it. Wow. Not only am I feeling very sad, I lost the money. No, seeing them feeling sad about it, then getting angry and then cursing me, and really painful to me. Surely Krishna is doing, he left his house. He took sannyas, he left his house. He said, it's time for me. He left his house and he went. And all over town, everybody knew, this is that rascal who never gave money and lost all the money that spit on him. Some guys kicked him. Some guys, he said, he didn't react. Then as he traveled, people treated him with word spread that such and such a guy, known to be a Brahmana, has become a sannyasi. But I tell you, he got a real hoary background. He's like this when he was a grahastha. So people know about it, and in a grahastha community, people hate to see such guys.
They didn't give money when they were grahasthas and then they took sannyas. I'll never give you a donation. I'll never give you a dakshin. It's a real bad time. He had real bad time. And to such an extent that when he would, you know, arrive in a place, the kids will steal his kamandalu away. They took away his danda and they beat him with the danda. Then some housewife dumped garbage on him. You are that guy? Yeah, dump on you. How dare you do this to a nice woman? Dumped on him. Then other kids urinated on him. And then when he was getting ready to eat some bakshish that he got here and there, they urinated on that. They dumped mud on that. They gave him hell. And all the time, this Brahmana, because he was very intelligent, very well educated, he thought and said, concluded, I don't think these are the guys doing it to me. They don't know. They're too superficial. They don't have that much knowledge to do these things to me. There is somebody behind engineering this whole thing. I shouldn't react to them. You see. Noonam me Bhagavan tushtah sarvadevamayo harihi yenanito dasham etam nirvedas chatmanah plava. He said, Noonam me Bhagavan tushtah. Definitely the Lord is very happy with me. Tushti means happy and satisfied. Noonam me Bhagavan tushtah. The Lord is very happy with me. Amazing realization. Sarvadevamayo hari. He is the Lord of all the demigods. Why? Yenanito dasham etam. He has brought me to this horrible situation where I'm suffering like nothing. Nirvedas chatmanah plava. So that I may, with detachment, climb on to the boat of renunciation and cross over and go to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is why he is doing this to me. He's pushing me like nothing. And I know if the Lord is paying this much attention to me, it means he's very happy with me. And that's really the type of understanding he had. He took complete responsibility for whatever I did. And he said, I take complete responsibility for that. I surrender to you, my Lord. And you're beating me again and again. I deserve all these things and more. I surrender to you. So Krishna is telling this story to Uddhava. That Brahmana, my dear Uddhava, very dear to me. Because he understood that I was acting through material nature and squeezing him to surrender. And he surrendered. He took responsibility for his actions. And Krishna took advantage of what he had done and pushed him to the limit to surrender. Similarly, we should take responsibility for anything socially happening, anything happening within our community, within our temples, within ourselves, inside us, because we are, after all, just servants of Krishna. And anything that happens to us has got a plan, has got a reason. So this way, we can examine this beautiful instruction of Balaram. No one but oneself is responsible for one's own joy and grief, for a man experiences the result of his own deeds. Om Tat Sat. Sorry to keep you waiting. Shkantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shila Prabhupada Ki, All Mauritius Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Nittai Gaura Premanande. Should I take any question? And don't ask one of the stump the Swami questions. Right? Should show them. You should show it to them and give them the real purport. But look at the consequences. Look at the consequences of what's happening. They're not having this type of a consequence. You see, Rukmini is so happy about the abduction. And she's very secure. Later when Draupadi will meet all of these queens,
in Kurukshetra. And she wants to know, you know, how did he get married to Krishna? Tell me. And you know, also each one of them will recollect all the wives of Krishna, at least the 8 principal wives, plus the representative of the 16,000 wives, another one called Rohini. They will all together recollect, you know, how Krishna won me, you know, how Krishna married me. He did this, he did this, he did this. So I am simply his maid servant. Right. So they were very happy. But I don't know, everybody who is abducted is having a successful grihastha life. That's one thing. Right? And if Krishna does something, we can explain to them how it is transcendental in nature. And we shouldn't imitate it. Right? We don't have that caliber of kshatriyas now that we need to go and do a rakshasa swayambara now. I don't think any of the guys are capable of supporting that type of, you know. They are just weak individuals. They can't look after themselves. I keep hearing everywhere, divorce, 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 divorce. You know, my wife, no. My husband, no. Like this. I mean, in Kali Yuga, we don't have the strength inside to sustain many things. That's why, you know, Hare Krishna movement is a great boon. At least we can distribute some books, whatever the problems are. We can distribute some books, read some book and chant Hare Krishna, eat some prasadam and be happy. I mean, what to do? But I don't think anybody can recreate that leela. That is a perilous journey to think I can do it. But taking the movie in terms of, you know, explaining the pastime and after that having a commentary and a discussion on it as an addendum to the movie and attaching it to it, how you should look at Rukmini Kalyanam, Rukmini Vivaha, and what type of perspective you should have, we can do that extra so that people don't get the wrong impression. I was in a question answer booth in Calcutta very long back, many years. They have a big question answer booth. And the Bengalis, you know, a little communistic background. There's one person, anybody knows Bengali? You know, he asked in Bengali, why Draupadi got 5 husbands? And why Krishna kidnapped and this and then this devotee, Prabhupada's disciple, he got, first you go and look after your wife at home properly. You see, are you okay at home before I can answer this question to you? He said, I think you have some problem at home. And is your wife okay at home? He just asked, is your grihastha life okay? Is your wife obedient to you? He says, then you ask me. Then I tell you. You know how Draupadi had husbands who were, you know, highly religious dharmic persons, and she, how she catered to all of them. And he said that, you know, Krishna and all his wives, what the wives, how they were dharmically oriented towards Krishna, how he got married and all is not your business. It's allowed. You can get married. But afterwards, how you keep your wife. Right? That's important. He told him. And so I am sure you're having problem keeping your wife. And finally he said, yeah. So first you set that right, then only you'll understand this. First you chant Hare Krishna, make your wife chant Hare Krishna, and you come back to me, I'll definitely convince you. So that type of a material perspective, it's difficult to understand transcendence and leave alone understanding Krishna's divya leela. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vedi tatvatah. So that's, we have to teach them. That shows that we have to preach to them. Not that we should be afraid of that question. That's a question we want. Yeah, good, ask the question. Walk in, please. Will you walk into my parlor? Said the spider to the fly. In my younger days, sir. You know, please come in, step in. That's exactly the question I want to answer. As these are the type of people we're looking for. They come and get stuck here. At least they have some dharmic religious trend. They're talking about moral and ethical principles. What is right and what is wrong. That's the beginning. And when we read Bhagavatam, you'll know everything Krishna does is moral and ethically completely off. But in the end of Bhagavad Gita, it says, Dhruvanitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, highest morals and highest ethical principles are there. Spin you. Right. That's it. Last question. Nayam janome sukadukka hetur na devatatma na grahakarma kala mana param karana mamananti samsara chakram parivartayet yet. Very beautiful shloka. Yes, it's all the mind.
You also mentioned it's not given by karma.
Yeah. He said, na graha, na karma, na kala. Neither the demigods. Devatatma, graha karma kala. But it is all my mind. Well, karma is an external instrument. Everything will happen through the instrument of the mind to you, because we live a mental world. Our life is just based on the mind. It's according to the dictates of the mind. And that's the junction. Through the mind, you can be affected with misery and happiness. If you simply adjust mentally, then you don't need to get affected. That's what he's saying. It's all in the mind. Because whatever is given to you, whatever you're supposed to suffer, even your karma, has to come through the mind. Just like the living entity after he is dead is dragged by Yamadutas to Yamaloka. But his body is here. The punishment is through the mind, through the subtle body. Yeah. His gross body is here. The subtle body takes the beating, because that's where everything is. That's where the program rests. The software rests there. So that's there you take the beating. You can develop another hardware again in the machinery of material nature in somebody's womb. But this is where you take the beating. Right? And the modes act on the mind. That's the junction they act and influence you. Ideas, impressions. You know, even the karmis, they made a movie out of it. It's called Inception. You know, you can put an idea in a guy, program him. And there's a big research going on how to use the mind and attack people. Even the outside world, they know that. So this Brahmana already knows that. He said, I'm not going to react to any of these guys because they have nothing to do with me. They are external agents. It's my mind. Okay? Om Tat Sat. Officially, the Bhagavatam class is a close. Who wants to go can go. But then, since I have nothing better to do today and it's raining outside, I'm going to take a few questions. And of course, I'm hungry. Prasadam comes next. Yeah. Pardon? Who is the we who is going to ignore? The person. But you haven't even understood that you're not the mind. Right. So that talk, can we ignore the mind? Is the mind saying it? That's the amazing trap. It's the mind saying, can we ignore the mind? You can understand how powerful an enemy is the mind. Unless you are out of the clutches of the mind. If you are, you won't ask this question. While we are sitting and listening, while we are talking, and we are even blaming the mind, it's the mind through which we have to think this. And it is the mind that's saying, don't trust the mind, very bad boys. How close is the enemy? That's why Krishna is saying, Atmaivahi Atmano Bandhur Atmaivahi Ripuratmana. It's not a joke to train the mind. You have to wake up spiritually. Chanting of the holy name, so powerful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we will understand that, my gosh, all the time I am thinking with this guy, with the mind. And even now the mind. But when you're aligned that I am spirit soul, I am Krishna's servant, and through that consciousness the mind is energized to think, then it's different. Right? Yeah, that's why that Brahmana is making a very good analysis. It's very interesting, you should read that. Very interesting analysis. Krishna says a very intelligent Brahmana, he liberated himself by his intelligence. He knew what to do. Right. Om Tat Sat. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Let me take a closer look at Goloka Nanda.